Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881. And share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now, your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Yes, welcome back. And it's so good to have your company on this Wednesday. Now is the moment of the show when we gather together as a praying family and we say the Divine Mercy Chaplet. For any of you who don't know, that was a prayer that was given to Sister Faustina back in the 1930s. She had a number of apparitions of our Lord. And subsequent to that, she was propagating the devotion to the Divine Mercy, which is really just an extension of the Sacred Heart, that idea of God's love for each and every one of us. Now, we were talking about humility just before, and I came across this wonderful quote from now Saint Faustina, and it was, "If there is a truly happy soul on earth, it can only be a truly humble soul." And I think she's absolutely right. Humility seems to equal not just honor, life, and wealth, as the scriptures tell us, but also happiness. Humble people tend to be very, very happy. Okay, now each day I'm accompanied by a prayer warrior, somebody who gives up their time to come in and pray with me for you. So let's find out today who is our prayer warrior.
In the studio with us today, Kevin, is Mr. David Williams.
David, good to have you back.
Thank you, Kevin. Good to be back. It's been a while, maybe a month, it seems like.
Yeah, it seems like a long time, but it's always good to have you back. Your voice is very, very comforting, if I may say.
Thank you, Kevin. You made my day. What a blessing.
It's kind of reassuring, which is just the right tone when people are coming to us with all sorts of intentions and worries and fears, and they want somebody to pray for them. So, listen, David's on the job. I'm on the job. If there's anybody out there who would like us to pray for you, whatever it is, doesn't matter what the intention is, we'll pray for it. It can be something very big. Can it be an illness, prognosis of some sort you're worried about, or a diagnosis that you're even more worried about? We'll be very, very happy to pray for it. It can be a family member, it can be a troubled marriage, whatever it is. But it also can be a prayer of thanksgiving. God has answered your prayers. God has given you something, or you just want to rejoice in some of the gifts that God has given you, be they the gifts of sight or hearing, or whether it's the gift of a friendship or a love or a marriage, a gift of children, whatever it is. We need to give thanks as well. Scriptures are full of the need for us to say thanks. In fact, I've heard tell that when you start your prayers, you should say thanks first before you ask for something, because that is a sure way to the Father's heart. I don't know if you'd agree with that, David. You're a father. Do you find that if your children come to you with lots of thanks, you're more amenable to their requests?
Absolutely. I'm putty.
Well, there you go. Listen, if it's good enough for us, it's good enough for the Lord. Okay, well, I'm hoping, David, that you have come with lots and lots of intentions today.
I have a few for sure, Kevin.
Excellent, excellent. We'll work our way through those. We've got 5 decades. As I say, you can be part of this prayer and we can pray for you. We're praying for you anyway if you're listening. But if you've got a special intention, allow us to pray with you for it. And you can do so in two ways. You can call the show on 888-928-0881. Or you can text me on 251-928-2111. We're only too happy to pray for you and your intentions. Okay, well, David, shall we begin?
Absolutely.
Okay, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
That is us up and running, David. So this is good. So listen, last chance, start texting in your prayer requests. Some of them already coming in. We're glad to have more. 251-928-2111. Okay, David, let's start this first decade, and let's ask, who or what would you like us to pray for?
Well, Kevin, always I want to pray for the conversion of my son, Zachary Christian, and for my betrothed, Anna Elizabeth. And I've got some more, but let me go ahead.
That's enough. That's okay. Enough for this, because right, I think we want to give as much attention to these requests as possible.
Sounds
and
good.
I think I know that even I know that Zachary Christian is on your mind. And we pray for him every single time you come here, and we'll continue to do so. And very, very happy to do so. And Anna Elizabeth, she was received into the church just at Easter, from memory. Is that
she
correct?
She was. Yes, sir. She was.
And you're due to get married, remind me?
December. Still don't
That's
have
right.
a specific date set, but it's
That's right.
December.
I do remember it was December or thereabouts, David, because I thought from my ears, most of the weddings this side of the Atlantic anyway seem to happen in the spring and summertime. Mm-hmm. So it was a little bit, but December can be a beautiful time as well, I'm sure.
That's her choice, though. You know, when they make a decision and they want it at a certain time, you just say, yes, dear.
So. I know that's a very good template for your marriage, actually, David, not just for your courtship. You'll get used to that. You'll have that on speed dial, that yes, dear. Okay, well, look, let's pray for Anna Elizabeth and Zachary Christian, and let's lift them up. The Lord knows them even better than you do, David, and we ask for their needs, whatever their needs are this day, to be met, whatever their concerns or difficulties, to be overcome, but that both of them will know somehow the divine mercy in their lives, and be known that we are praying for them this day and wishing them all the very best, and that God's will be done in their lives.
Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, David. So let's take a moment to look at some of these requests that have come in. And good morning to Jim. Jim has texted us in the past, and I'm very glad to have your text this morning. And Jim is texting us about the repose of the soul of a 15-year-old who died at an ATV accident over the weekend. and that is Houston Glass. And Jim is asking for prayers for his family as they try to deal with this loss. Jim, we got word of this yesterday from Sherry, and we prayed for the repose of the soul of Houston yesterday and for his family, Dr. Glass's family. And we are very, very happy to do so again, to pray for this young man. It must be an absolutely terrible situation, David, to lose a 15-year-old in an automobile accident.
Truly is, Kevin. It was the word Tuesday morning is when I guess the community kind of heard, but it was extremely tragic, and many prayers have gone up for this family and this young man.
Yeah, and there's no words that can in any way sort of make sense of this, you know. I mean, the only thing we can do is simply pray for his soul and for the family, because this sort of thing is beyond human comprehension as to why a 15-year-old should be taken at this moment. So how old is your son, Zachary?
Kevin, he is 23.
23.
Yeah, well, 23 with maybe mentality of an 18-year-old. Let me say that.
Well, we're all guilty of that to some extent. But you will, as a father, you will very much, and a son who's not much older than Houston, you will very much be able to identify with the pain that this family must be suffering at this time.
Absolutely.
So we very much pray for Houston and his soul and the souls of all the faithful departed through the mercy of God. Rest in peace. And we pray for the Glass family this morning, and we'll do so maybe for the rest of this week. Such a tragic and unexpected event has come into their lives. They're going to need a lot of prayer and a lot of help. Jim is also asking for prayers for Damien as he recovers from a back surgery. Jim, we're delighted to pray for Damien, and hopefully his back will be sorted out, and he will be up and about and able to move around freely without any pain. And we'll also pray for you, Jim, and your wife. I know we prayed for you in the past. It was very good to hear from you this morning. So we lift you up as well and ask that the divine mercy really enter into the life of yourself and your wife at this time. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, David. So let's go back to the text. Another one's come in. Let's just see. This is from, it's anonymous at the moment, but it's asking for prayers for my husband, Jeff, who is suffering from a debilitating back pain. Anonymous, we'd be delighted to pray for Jeff. Back pain seems to be the theme this morning, David. We've had Damien with his back injury recoveries, and now we've got Jeff as well, debilitating back pain. So we pray, whoever the patron saint of back pain is, to step into this and pray with us this morning for Jeff and for Damien. And Anonymous is also asking for prayers for Lola, who is taking a professional test today, as we pray. Anonymous, we'd only too delighted to pray for Lola and whatever that test is today, that she is wildly successful, that the Lord really inspires her, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, and the Spirit of knowledge come upon her and guide her in whatever that professional test is today, and that she shines brightly in it. You're not taking any professional tests today, David, are you?
I am not.
No, neither am I, and I'm glad of it.
So it must be a bit nerve-wracking. Praise God.
Praise God. Well, we'll thank God that we're not taking any tests today.
Correct.
We'll definitely remember Lola. And Anonymous, if you could get back to us when Lola shines brightly and succeeds wonderfully in the test, then we can all give thanks with you.
Absolutely.
But also we remember Jeff and his back and pray that the Lord relieve him of that back pain, if it be his will. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, David. Now, we've had another text in. It's not exactly directly related to asking for prayers, but good morning, Judy, to you, and thank you for your text. Judy is talking about, in her text, she's talking about newspapers and the need for newspapers to be very honest and very clear in their writing, and we agree with that totally, Judy. But also, you probably know, Judy, that one of the features now of this time of the show is that we pray for our guests. Remember, a lot of our guests, or a fair proportion of them, are not Catholic, and we pray in particular for them that that this experience of coming on Archangel Radio will somehow be an entry point for them to get closer to the truth of our holy faith. So we lift up Dale Lesh at the Lanyap, and we pray for all the journalists working across Lower Alabama that they really understand the beauty of their vocation, which is holding power to account, but also being very, very truthful in the reporting of events and looking for the truth at all times, seeking the truth and reporting the truth. You can't go wrong, especially if you have a sense of humility, which, as we say, is one of the themes of this week. So, Judy, thank you for your text and reminding us of the need to pray for journalists. I'm sure you'd agree with that, David, that there's always a need to pray for journalists.
Absolutely, and even more so in this day and time.
Absolutely, for all the reasons that we know, society is very polarized, and it's so easy to be sectarian in one's view about things, whereas it is the truth of the situation that journalists need to report. So yes, we pray for all of them, especially those that work at the Lanyap.
Humbleness, Kevin, humbleness.
Absolutely, humility, you can never go wrong with humility. Now, we've also had a text in from Jim replying to the request for the patron of back relief, back pain. And I do remember this, Jim. Now you've sparked that memory. It's Gemma Galgani. That's absolutely right, St. Gemma Galgani. And we ask St. Gemma to pray for Damien and to pray for Jeff with us this morning, that all the back pain will be got away with. I know St. Gemma had some sort of contraption on her back for many, many months and was in an awful lot of pain until the Lord relieved her. So she's a very, very good patron saint for back pain and all those who suffer from it. Okay, so let's pray now for journalists and for Dale in particular in this decade, David.
Okay.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, David. So for this fourth decade, David, I'm coming back to you. And who or what else would you like us to pray for this morning?
A couple things, Kevin. First, I want to pray for or offer up Christopher and Diane. These are family friends of my sister. And Christopher has been diagnosed with lung cancer, is going through treatment. I think he started about a week ago. But Diane is my sister's best friend, and this is her husband. So I want to offer prayers for Christopher, his healing, and their comfort. Also, I have a neighbor, Lynn, who is recovering from a broken elbow, apparently a very, very bad break and lots of pain with that. And then lastly, what I want to do is offer up prayers for the LGBTQ community. It seems to have been in the news a lot lately with the Dodgers and then some local events as well. I really want to pray for these people. It is my view they just must be in I don't. It's just a painful thing, and I want to pray for them to seek and know the love of God.
Absolutely. Well, that's what we pray for everybody. And we also pray in this month for the great gift of humility for everybody, because one of the attributes of humility is to know thyself, to know the truth of who we are, created in the image of God, created male and female. That is how he created us. So, yes, we pray for truth and honesty and humility to come into all these situations. And we pray also that people will understand that that marriage is God's particular path for some people, but it won't be for everybody. So we pray for everybody to discern that properly according to the lights of Scripture and tradition. Of course, we'll pray for Lynn and her broken elbow. Lynn, if you're listening, I know what it's like to have a very painful break, so my sympathy is completely with you, and we hope for a very swift recovery. We hope you're not too incapacitated due to this broken elbow. Hopefully you're getting lots of love and attention from your friends and family. And Christopher and Diane, we will pray for very much, David. If possible, David, keep us updated on Christopher's progress.
Yeah,
he's going for
treatment,
you said, at the
moment.
Yeah,
he's on his second week, if I had to guess, but I will certainly keep you posted.
Well, God is greater than even cancer. And I just had another text here from our dear friend, Dr. Amal, over in Belgium. I don't know if you remember, David, we had a woman who had a very cancerous malignant form on her face, mm-hmm. and she was a Syrian refugee who had gone to Belgium. Do you remember that story?
I do.
And it was Amal's job to go and to tell her how bad things were with her brother, with this lady's brother. And the morning that she got there, she'd been praying about it, obviously, Amal, and she'd got us to pray for it. And when she got there, the cancer was gone. And the doctors have no understanding as to why that cancer is gone. And Amal just texted me again today to say that, yes, the cancer's gone totally. No cancer whatsoever. The doctors are absolutely flabbergasted, and she says, thanks for all the prayers. The lady in question from Syria, Manal was her name, was very moved to hear so many people praying for her. So I don't know if that will help your friend Christopher, but we will pray for him.
We can certainly pray and try, for sure.
Absolutely, and we pray for a miracle. Christopher and Diane, if you're listening to this, we are praying for you and very happy to do so in the coming days ahead at this very difficult juncture in your life. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, David. I will come back, David, for a final request for anybody who may have just popped into your mind in the last 20 minutes or so that we've been praying together. But just a quick few intentions of Michelle. Thank you very much for your text. And Michelle is saying we need to pray for the Holy Father. She's absolutely right. The Holy Father is going into surgery today. So let's pray for him, pray for a successful outcome to his surgery today. I've also had an anonymous text in asking for prayers for Mike Romano. Mike Romano, one of the producers on this show. So we will definitely pray for Mike. And while we're at it, we'll pray for Reed. And they both need prayers working with me. So we'll pray for them and we'll pray for everybody at Archangel Radio and for our mission. We'll also pray for Friday's dinner, specific dinner, the 1410 Archangel Radio dinner that's coming up on Friday. Joe is hosting it, our good friend Joe Roskowski. So we pray for everybody going to that and pray for a wonderful evening and that the mission of Archangel Radio grows ever deeper and ever more profound in the lives of those that listen to this station. David, any final requests?
Well, you took my Archangel Radio prayer request, but Kevin, I do want to add my dear mother. My mother turned 85 on the 4th, and our father went to be with the Lord 2 years ago, and she's making her way, but she has some better days than others, and so I want to add my dear mother Charlotte to the prayer list here.
Absolutely. Charlotte, if you're listening, we are delighted to have you as a listener and so grateful for all you've done over the years, including raising such a wonderful son as David, and many, many happy returns in this great month of the Sacred Heart. So, David, I'll also include in this your intentions, whatever they are, the unsaid intentions, and also for you, for your work, for your family, and for your needs, that the Holy Spirit will guide you and the divine mercy will bless you continually.
Thank you, Kevin.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
David, thank you so much for coming in and praying with me today.
My pleasure, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
And come back soon.
I will see you in 2 weeks, or hear you in 2 weeks.
Wonderful. Absolutely. Okay. And keep us posted on Christopher and everybody else.
I certainly will. Feel
free to text us in, David, those requests in the coming days, because we're very, very happy to keep...
It's a good idea, Kevin. I hadn't thought about that. That's a very good idea.
Let's do that, and let's keep Christopher and Diane very much in prayer in these next days together.
Absolutely. Thanks again.
Okay, when we come back, we're going to be exploring even more the mystery of Sister Wilhelmina Lancaster. Yes, that's the nun who suddenly reappeared 4 years after she died in tip-top form and was carried out and is now held in her monastery, a strangely incorrupted body. Okay, when we come back, we will discuss that and its significance. Stay tuned to the Turley Frequency here live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. I saw Lon Chaney walking with the Queen. Welcome back to the Turley Frequency here live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. I hope your Wednesday is going wonderfully well. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whoever you're with, I hope it's an absolute joy. And I hope you're enjoying this edition of the Turley Frequency. We cover all sorts of strange subjects. The weird, the wonderful, and the not so weird, and the not so wonderful. It's all here because all of life is here. And that's what Catholic media is about. It's about reflecting life back through the Catholic lens. Wouldn't you agree, Reid?
Certainly.
So, Reid, you heard the first part of Sister Wilhelmina yesterday. Were you aware of Sister Wilhelmina? Had that news filtered down into your neck of the woods?
It better have. I mean, it seems to me like that's the number one Catholic story in the world, really, over the last week or so.
I agree. Definitely is. And it's a strange story as well. And what about, had you heard of the spy, Robert Hansen?
I had just heard, just like mention of it before in my life. But I didn't know really anything about it.
It's a slightly sadder story, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
But it's also a salutary story. I mean, the reason we talk about it here is not because of the sadness or the slightly squalid nature of spying and everything that was associated with it, mm-hmm. but as a warning to all of us, you know, that we need humility. We need humility and we need to walk humbly with our God, as the prophet Joel says, because otherwise pride and vanity will lead us all in the wrong directions. I'm sure you'd agree, Reid.
I do agree. People do the things that they do oftentimes because they think that it's the right thing to do. It's clouded. You know, people, there's sometimes that people will intentionally do malicious things, but it's definitely something that I've noticed. Usually people will do it due to clouded just judgment or ideals or thinking they want something, and then it results in a completely different result.
That's right. That's right. So it's always better to be guided humbly by the Holy Spirit in whatever we do.
And I thought that you draw a great line between how Sister Wilhelmina was always willing to follow the Lord's direction, even late in her life. And then we see now kind of the fruits of her life and how she is kind of being propped up as somebody to look up to. And I thought it was interesting just how you pointed to, both were Catholic and both took very different turns due to the decisions and their willingness to listen to the truth.
That's right. And we're all in the same boat when it comes to that. The other thing, maybe for somebody at your stage of life where you're constantly asked about what direction you want to go in, it's important to remember that the Lord calls at different times of our lives. As you've heard, Sister Wilhelmina set out to found her new order when she was age 70. But let's not forget that Mother Teresa was roughly about 70 or thereabouts when she first met Jim Towie, who was our guest yesterday. And she was just beginning her work, really, then, which she did for about another 15 or 16 years. So the Lord calls whenever he wants, and it's for us to be ready to respond to that.
Certainly.
Okay, well, I guess with that good intro from you, Reed, we better get on with the second part of the mystery of Sister Wilhelmina.
Yes, I'm excited to hear about the end of it.
Yes, welcome back to Storytime here on the Turley Frequency. Now, yesterday we were talking about Sister Wilhelmina Lancaster. Now, who was she? Well, unless you've been under a rock, you probably have come across her story because it's been all over, not just the Catholic media, but also the secular media. It even got as far as London. We were hearing about it on the secular media over here. So she was exhumed in April this year, nearly 4 years after her death in May 2019. And Sister Wilhelmina lived as a Benedictine nun at the Benedictines of Mary, Queen of Apostles, in Gower, which is about 45 minutes north of Kansas City. And when they went to exhume her body, they found that it was barely decomposed. That's probably we can't say it was incorruptible. That's a kind of a technical term which is often used with saints and what have you. But certainly this body was in a shockingly vivid state after 4 years of being underground, when by all measures it should have decomposed and there should have been nothing left but dust. Remember, whenever we go for our ashes on Ash Wednesday, the priest puts ashes on her forehead and repeats the lines from the book of Job, which are ashes to ashes, dust to dust, because that's what we're made of and that's what we return to. But in Sister Wilhelmina's case, there was no such occurrence. So her body was taken out and placed in a glass shrine in the church at the convent. And it started to attract many, many thousands of people. I'm looking at a CBS News report here, which said that between 10 to 15,000 visitors were expected each day over the holiday weekend that followed around about that time in May. And people were traveling from not just across the United States, but from Canada and Mexico, and they were intending to visit. I'm not sure why people were going, because obviously nobody had really heard of Sister Wilhelmina. So I'm not absolutely certain about the motivation for why people were suddenly turning up. But they were. And this is one of the signs, and I'm not making any prejudgments here, but it's one of the signs when it comes to looking into the lives of somebody to inquire whether they are a suitable candidate for sanctity, for sainthood, for canonization. And one of the prerequisites is that there has to be a popular cult. And by that, there has to be a following. People have to want to ask for the intercession of the individual concerned. And what's happening in Missouri at the moment seems to be that there is a cult developing around Sister Wilhelmina. So, it begs the question, really, who was Sister Wilhelmina Lancaster, OSB? Well, she was the second of five children born to Catholic parents in St. Louis, Missouri. And she was born on Palm Sunday, which was April 13th in 1924. Her baptismal names were Mary Elizabeth Lancaster. She was later to take the name Wilhelmina when she took her vows, which is pretty normal in the Catholic sphere. Now, Mary Elizabeth was born into an African-American family who were very Catholic, and she was raised in a deeply pious home. According to the current abbess of the monastery, Mother Cecilia, Sister Wilhelmina had some kind of mystical experience, aged around 9 years old, just after she had received her first Holy Communion. And it seems that there was something mystical happened, in the sense that our Lord appeared to this young girl. Now, I'm going to quote Mother Cecilia to you as follows. because she obviously had talked to Sister Wilhelmina about this, or Mother Wilhelmina, and she had said she saw something of him at her first Holy Communion, him being our Lord. Maybe not very clearly, but she saw that he was so handsome, and he said to her, "Will you be mine?" And the little girl said, "He is so handsome, how can I say no?" Which I think is a very, very beautiful way of putting it. But it also sort of rings true, if that's the story that's recounted. It's the sort of thing, it sounds like it's something that a young girl of 9, just after she received her first Holy Communion, would say. So, aged 13 years old, little Mary Elizabeth asked her parish priest, or started to discuss with her parish priest, about becoming a sister, becoming a religious sister of some sort. And she, even at that age, wrote to the Oblates Sisters of Providence in Baltimore, but she was told she was too young and she would have to just wait a little bit longer before she embarked on that course, which is a lifelong vocation and something which shouldn't be entered into by children if they're not fully aware of what they're undertaking. However, what I will say, and this is something which has come up many times in the lives of the saints, what we see in the life of the little Mary Elizabeth here is a very clear calling, not just to the religious life, but to sanctity. This young girl knew as she was receiving her Holy Communion that she had to be very, very closely linked to, living with our Lord. That was the whole purpose. She got it straight away. Something that most Catholics, including myself, have struggled with all our lives, which is that the communion is communion with, it's with our Lord. It's entering into his life so that he can grow more and we, in all our vanity and pride, can decrease and he can become more, that we can become more Christ-like through reception of the Holy Communion. Well, this 9-year-old child, although it was a mystical experience as well, she got it straight away. And after that, she had only one intention, which was to be with Christ for the rest of her life. Now, the path that he obviously was inspiring through the Holy Spirit for her to follow was that of a religious sister. But there are many saints who at a very early age have discovered that Jesus really does exist. He is real, and he is calling them to an intimacy with our Lord that puts everything else in the shade. Now, I'm going to read to you a little bit of what this letter from this 13-year-old girl sounded like, just to give you a little flavor of this Mary Elizabeth, because she sounds like an absolute charm. She sounds determined to be a saint. Wait to hear this. She said the following: "Dear Mother Superior, I am a girl, 13 years old, and I would like to become a nun. I plan to come to your convent as soon as possible. I will graduate from grade school next month. What I want to know is whether you have to bring anything to the convent and what it is you have to bring. I hope I'm not troubling you any, but I have my heart set on becoming a nun. Of course, I am a Catholic. God bless you and those under your command. Respectfully, Mary Elizabeth Lancaster." Now, I don't know about you, but I find that letter from this 13-year-old girl utterly charming, as they say. She is so determined, so innocent, so beautiful in her determination to follow the path that God is pointing out to her. But also, she is so innocent of anything that's required. She's not even sure what she has to bring, what she has to do. She has no knowledge of the ways of the world, even when it comes to entering a monastery. The bit I liked most and laughed at most was that she blesses the Mother Superior and those under her command. Most religious orders would not describe their charges as being under their command, which is, it's a lovely way of doing it. Now, this rather charming letter and the desire for Mary Elizabeth to become a nun was, I'm afraid, in direct contrast with some of the experiences that she was having at that time. She lived in a society which was still segregated in many respects, and there were all the problems, the racial problems and tensions that were there. And she recounts how she was often taunted as she had to run through a white neighborhood on her way to school. And whilst at the school, she was one of the few Catholics there, if not the only Catholic, and she was often ridiculed by the other children who came from other denominations. But here's the thing that stands out from Sister Wilhelmina. She may have been taunted because of her skin color or because of her faith, but she never harbored any resentment to those who had treated her in that way. She never in any way decried it or talked about it or in any way talked badly of the people that treated her badly, that treated her less than was her true worth. Now, she finally went to a Catholic school and she eventually graduated. And then she entered the Order of the Oblate Sisters of Providence. Do you remember the order that she'd written to initially who had told her she's far too young? And this Oblate Sisters of Providence was one of only two religious orders at the time that were open to black African-American or Hispanic women. She gladly entered into that life and became a nun and would remain in vows to that order for 50 years. 50 years. So she was very young when she entered into religious life, but it was obviously what God had wanted for her. I mean, 50 years, and she was very happy in it. Now, during those 50 years, which is a long time by any measure, religious life changed very, very significantly. Remember, Sister Wilhelmina would have been entering before the Second World War. And by the 1960s, the Second Vatican Council had come along, and there were lots of changes that were to the church, and to the liturgy, and all the other things that we know. But perhaps the changes of the Second Vatican Council were felt most amongst certain religious orders, especially, if I may say, orders of nuns. There were some tragic cases where orders of nuns threw off their habits, got rid of their ways of their ordered way of living and embraced all sorts of fashionable psychologies and creeds. And what did it do? Well, it emptied the convents. Lots of people left monasteries and convents. There was a period of, I suppose, a period of great confusion after the council in all sorts of ways in certain religious houses. But one of the marked features was the absolute drop in vocations, but also the exodus of many religious from religious life, which had been so stable for so many years for so many people. So one of the things that Sister Wilhelmina experienced with the Oblate Sisters of Providence was that she or they wished to discard the habit. Now, this, for anybody who's listening wondering, well, what is this habit are you talking about? A habit in this sense is the costume that nuns wear. You know, I mean, traditional, think of a traditional nun. She wears often a long black or white or brown habit, which goes from head to toe, and there's a head dress type thing, and there's a kind of wimple, and then the face. That was the traditional look of almost all Catholic religious orders for nuns up until the Second Vatican Council. After that, certain orders decided to throw their habits away and to wear civilian garb, to wear the normal wear of any lay woman. And this was what Sister Wilhelmina was asked to do. And she didn't want to do it. She didn't want to do it. The habit for her was more than simply a religious garb. It wasn't a costume. It was a religious symbol of who she was and what she was. She was, yes, a Catholic nun, but she was also a bride of Christ. And she took that very seriously. So poor old Sister Wilhelmina, now she must have been in her mid to late 60s at this point, started to sort of argue that this wasn't right and that she wanted to keep her habit. The order were, shall we say, ambivalent about this, so much so that Sister Wilhelmina had to take to making the habit for herself. That's right. Now, don't laugh when I tell you what she used for a headdress, because this It may sound comical, but it also gives you some indication of the kind of perseverance, strength of character of the later woman that we've already experienced to some extent in that 13-year-old's letter to the Mother Superior. Because Sister Wilhelmina started using a plastic bleach bottle, or the remains of a plastic bleach bottle, to create the headdress part, the wimple part of her habit. And she also then started making her own habit, homemade. And she would put it together and wear it in this fashion. Now, one can only imagine the amount of ridicule that she must have experienced on account of this, not just from those around her, but also from the community that she belonged to. Now, I have nothing to say that this happened. I haven't read this or had any evidence of it. But I can imagine that any religious order where one person decides to step out of line and starts to do their own thing through their own conscience and has to resort to things like plastic bleach bottles, then you can imagine that it's going to raise eyebrows, if nothing else, in the community that's left behind. But here's the thing. It's reported in some of the press that this makeshift habit that she developed actually saved her life. Yeah. Because Sister Wilhelmina, one of her jobs was teaching in Baltimore. And I don't know what school she was teaching at, but one day a very disgruntled student drew a knife and tried to attack her with it and tried to put it into her neck, put the knife into her neck. And it was because of her collar, which she had created for herself, because it was stiff and high-necked, that it saved her life. So this habit was, yes, a religious symbol, yes, a signifier that she was a bride of Christ, but also inadvertently had saved her life. Now, there is a biography of Sister Wilhelmina, which the nuns at her convent produced shortly after her death. And in that biography, it tells of one occasion when a sister of the other community that she was living in was passing her one day in the hallway, probably in the hallway of the school, perhaps. And they pointed at the traditional headdress and asked, "Sister Wilhelmina, are you going to wear that all the time?" And you know what Sister Wilhelmina said? She said, "Yes." And then she later said, "I am Sister Wilhelmina. I've a hell of a will, and I mean it." What a wonderful woman. "I am Sister Wilhelmina. I have a hell of a will, and I mean it." So this is a woman who, I don't know, the more I learn about, the more I like. She's a woman who's had to put up with an awful lot, but she shows no animosity towards those who make her life difficult. But as St. Teresa of Calcutta was saying, she sees all these humiliations as little gifts from God. Now, we're going to have to pause there in the story of Sister Wilhelmina. We'll return to it tomorrow, because what happens next is that there's a final break from the community she's with, and she sets out on another path, aged 70. But this Sister Wilhelmina doesn't surprise me anymore. At 70, I'm sure she was as tough-willed as that little girl of 13, writing to the Mother Superior and blessing her and all under her command.
It's been really interesting, Kevin. Who do we have coming up tomorrow?
And I'm glad you asked, Reid. We have the composer Mark Nowakowski, who's joining us. His music is well known to many, and it's now topping the charts. And he is one of a number of Catholic composers who are really taking the music center stage.
Excellent. And then maybe we'll get to the end of Sister Wilhelmina's story, even though it's very compelling. I just want to keep hearing more.
I think we're going to hear a lot more about Sister Wilhelmina in the years ahead, and I'm very much enjoying telling this story to everybody here at Archangel Radio. Listen, if you've enjoyed listening to us today, then let's do it all again tomorrow. Same time, same frequency, same turley. Until then, may God bless you and keep you, and may St. Joseph watch over you and yours. And until tomorrow, may God bless you very much.